Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce is here to talk about one of my favorite titles we've had on the segment, We Want Fish Sticks.
Yeah, and the cover is great, too. Yeah, it's called We Want Fish Sticks. The subtitle is The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders. It's by a guy named Nicholas Hirshon, who's written a number of other books and who will join us at some point in the future. And the foreword is by Eric Fichot, who was a goalie for the Islanders during this time. Now, we got to look at some numbers first to put the whole book in perspective. The most consecutive professional sports titles, Boston Celtics with 8 and 17 overall, tops in basketball. In hockey, no one's ever won more than 5 straight Stanley Cups. That's the Canadiens, and they have won 24 overall. Baseball, 5. The Yankees, 27 overall, more titles than in any other sports. But in football, for instance, no one has ever won 5 in a row. The Steelers have won 2 in a row on 3 occasions. They won 6 Super Bowls in 8 tries. They have the most victories in Super Bowls. Now, the reason I'm giving this next statistic is not to jinx the Patriots, but the Patriots are only 5-5 in Super Bowls. Yes, they've won 5. They've also lost 5. So I'm only putting all those numbers out there to put in this in perspective. In 1972, the New York Islanders were born through the expansion draft, where they were able to choose players from the teams that existed in the NHL at the time. And I think, if I remember, you could protect 3. So there were 70-some players that they could draw from with NHL experience. And I remember also listening to Bill Mazur's sports show in New York and somebody calling in saying, I'm telling you right now, before you know it, they're going to win a Stanley Cup. Look at that roster. That's a middle-of-the-pack roster to begin with. And I thought, yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. They had Billy Smith. They had some other players. But by 1975, rather, 3 years later, they were a fixture in the playoffs, and they win the Stanley Cup 4 years in a row, 1980 through 83. And under the directorship of Bill Torrey, who was the GM, proud graduate like me of Vermont Academy, and Paul Fenton, general manager of the Wild, and the coach and later executive Al Arbor, they had some players. They had Pat LaFontaine, Mike Bossy, Clark Gillies, Brian Trottier, Billy Smith, Dennis Potvin, all of whom are in the Hall of Fame. So it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't just great coaching. They had phenomenal talent. They started to wane after the 83 season. And the thing is, since 87, 88, they haven't sniffed a Stanley Cup. They haven't won a division title since then. And until the Red Wings broke their record, they had been in the playoffs 19 years in a row. So when longtime owner John Pickett in 1996 decided that he needed to do something to improve his team, he got a great deal with Sports Channel. And he had a tremendous amount of money, and he was willing to sell the team, and he sold it to a guy named James Spano, who is one of the great fraud hucksters of all time. He's currently in prison. It's the third time he's gone. He was sentenced to 10 years in 2015. He was able to convince the Islanders and convince Gary Bettman, but I don't know how hard it is to convince Gary Bettman of things, that he was a self-made multimillionaire. He had owned 10 companies with 6,000 employees worldwide, and it was worth $230 million. However, he didn't have any of that money. He had very, very little money, and he was a master at playing one bank off another, including Fleet Bank and Comerica. And for 5 months, he owned the New York Islanders at the same time that they embarked on this new rebranding program. Now, the rebranding program they came up with because when Wayne Gretzky was traded to the Los Angeles Kings, they scrapped their old uniforms. They went to silver and black, became the hottest selling merchandise in the hockey world. Of course, the LA Kings now had Wayne Gretzky, the greatest offensive player of all time. We can argue whether he's the greatest player, but if you take away his goals and just go with his assists, he's still number one. So the Islanders decided they would do this, and they hired a very famous company to help them come up with this new logo. And they wanted to embrace all of Long Island. Now, hockey had a reputation in New York of being the upper middle class elite. The Rangers are very hard to get tickets to. It's been that way for a long time. The Broadway Blues own the hearts of New Yorkers. The Devils, yeah, but they're in Jersey. They're not in New York. They're in Jersey, all right? And the Devils had their great run of success. But when the Islanders came in, they captured the hearts of Long Island, and many people who could not get tickets to Ranger or Devil games became devoted New York Islander fans. They had the great run. When things started to ebb, they started to turn away. So Spano's idea is to come and is that, and Pickett Pickett goes ahead and hires the before he sells Hispano, this whole new rebranding. And they come up with something, will embrace the Bayman tradition of Western Long Island. Now, people in Maine think that we're the only place that seafood is harvested on the East Coast. Yeah, Gloucester is the largest seafood processing area, but New York City, I believe, is number two. And New York has a tremendous tradition of commercial fishing and sport fishing. So they decided they would embrace the Bayman, and they came up with a new logo, which may be the worst logo in the history of sports. They take it. Now, their original logo, for people that forget, was a map of Long Island in orange and a big blue circle with an NY that looked like a little bit like the Mets logo and crossed hockey sticks. Great. Then the tradition of the Maple Leafs, the Canadiens, the Bruins, a big target on your chest. This looks like the Gorton's Fisherman. And that is exactly what it looked like, and everybody knew it. And the Ranger fans, who were in 1994, swept the Islanders on their way to the Stanley Cup playoff. The Ranger fans would start chanting, "We want fish sticks," whenever the Islanders would come to town. And of course, that's a small world. So then the Devils fans started doing it, and the Flyers fans started doing it, and the Bruins fans started doing it. And there were disasters with public relations, with mascots, with people not getting paid, and the sale of the merchandise tanked. Now, the NHL has a rule, and I learned about this just by reading this book. I certainly didn't know this ahead of time, that you can't change your logo every year. When you change it, it has to stay for a certain number of years, and that's because they don't want to get caught at the NHL store holding merchandise no one wants. The problem was the Islanders couldn't give the new stuff away, and they had tons and tons of this, and they basically tried to spread it around, give it out at promotional nights. Now, oddly enough, because it didn't last for very long, some of those old jerseys are as collector's items worth something. But the problem was the rebranding went south in a million ways. One, they hired Mike Milbury to be coach and at different points an executive. You've seen Milbury on TV, if you remember him charging into the stands. Mike Milbury is not the guy you want running a program, and I can't say that Mike Milbury is the guy you want coaching the team. But Milbury had to put up with Spano, who would invite Milbury to parties and then tell him, "Yeah, well, we're going to bring the hookers in, and they're going to be with each other, and then would you pick the one you want?" Milbury's like, "No, I'm not going to be here for that." And it turned out that everything that Spano had said was a fraud, but the NHL didn't check. They spent $1,000 checking on him when normally teams spend $30,000 at least. So it became a complete and utter disaster. And now that's to set up the book. So when we talk to the author, he can go into the actual machinations of what happened. And he does a really, really good job. There's some it's very incredibly well researched. But there were people chanting Spano's name as if God had walked into the Nassau County Coliseum because he was going to be the savior. Gary Bettman held him up as the apotheosis of owners, the guy who only wanted to do what was right for New York and was completely bereft of money. It's an amazing story.
Look forward to reading it, and look forward to talking with the author. Also, a couple of weeks from today, next week, I will be here.
I just found that out today.
But in 2 weeks, we'll talk with Tyler Helland about Searching for Terry Punchout.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. It's a really fun book, and it's... He did something different than what you would expect if you look at the whole canon of Canadian hockey literature, of which I've read quite a bit, not all of it, obviously, but quite a bit. He just, as William Willie Seatmoon would say, knocked it a half a bubble off plum. It's a very interesting novel. I really enjoyed it.
Cool. We'll look forward to that as well here every Wednesday, 4:30, Sports Lit 101 on Downtown.